Blog Talk Radio.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love into here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst today. I would like to greet you all, the listening audience, as well as my distinguished panel, in our greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. Well, I would like to welcome our guests to our first official Monday night broadcast, Conscious Black Nation. And, of course, as I always do, this is our seventh show on the network. And always for the first few shows, I'm hanging around, so it is my distinguished honor to present the host of this show, Brother Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis, So, Brother Kareem, come down front and center, soldier. Introduce yourself and tell us what are your plans in your hosting adventure, that what direction you plan to take this blog talk show in.
Well, thank you, Queen Aziza. And I will first have to say, assalamu alaikum. And in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and their reminder among us, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the direction that this broadcast is going in is so that, one, those who are not familiar with the practical, and I want to make that very clear, the practical application of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad can learn how to actually take those teachings and use them in their lives to better their lives. But this is not a show that's exclusively for quote-unquote Muslims. We want to take everything that we've got, like I said, practical application. One thing I want to mention or say is that, for example, in our lessons, we are taught, it asks the question, it says, what is the population of the original nation in the wilderness of North America and all over the planet Earth? And the answer is, the population of the original nation in the wilderness of North America is 17 million. Then it specifically states, with the 2 million Indians, it's 19 million. Then all over the planet Earth is 4,400,000,000. And with that in mind, the idea is to bring about the unity among all of humanity that desires righteousness, so that we can walk out of this wicked world that we know we're living in and build a new world where everybody, just as we're taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, can live in peace. That's the object of this show. We want to talk about relevant issues that are taking place right now. Yes, we'll deal with scriptural things. Yes, we'll deal with metaphysics or whatever that may come up. However, the idea is that at the end of the day, everybody has to have, we want everybody to come away from this show with practical solutions, real answers to the problems that they are facing every day. And that's the idea behind this show. That's the direction I want to go in.
And thank you for that, Brother Kareem, and we look forward to it. Okay, well, I would like to introduce our distinguished panel. And first, I want to introduce Brother Deron White. Brother Deron, come down front and center, soldier. Introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from. Tell us what you do. And tell us why you committed to be on the show tonight.
Okay, good evening, everybody. My name is Dan White. I'm an advocate for peace out here in San Diego, California, and denouncing the violence. You say, people say gang violence, but violence, period. And I've been doing this for 3 years. I came out of prison, I've seen a lot of young brothers in there that, you know, that I grew up with their fathers, and, you know, I've been to prison before. Just give me a little history of what kind of took me in this direction to come out here and try to save these youth out here from killing themselves and, you know, killing innocent people in the community, and try to change their state of mind and their heart. There's a lot of brothers in there that were younger, that, I grew up with their fathers, and they were in the penitentiary, and I'm in my 40s, so these young kids were in their 20s. And, you know, I even coached a couple of them in baseball, you know, in the community. So, you know, they were like, hey, coach, and I'm like, wow, you know, I'm in here with my buddy's sons and things of that nature. So when I came out, there was a couple in there, they were disturbed, they were very violent. They were talking about doing robberies when they get out, you know, and I'm like, wow. So that made me take another look, because I got five sons myself. And so I'm trying to give back to the community and rebuild the community that I was part of. Honestly, I feel like I was a negative vibe in it for quite some time.
Yes, sir. And thank you for sharing your story. And we have with us also Brother Barney Muhammad from our headquarters, Mosque in Chicago, Illinois. Come down from the center so to introduce yourself, Brother Barney.
Oh, thank you, my sister, and to the distinguished panel and to the listening audience. I want to greet everyone in the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. I am really honored to be considered someone that you can listen to. My information or whatever little knowledge, like Brother Darren, I was in that same condition. But whatever knowledge I have comes from the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad by way of the stewardship of Brother Minister Farrakhan. And I was a walking fool before I met them. So if you hear anything of wisdom coming from me, it is what Allah has placed in me through them, and we are to accept our own and be ourselves. I have over 30 years of walking with Brother Farrakhan in the rebuilding work of the Nation of Islam since the early 80s of 1981, and been on that path ever since. As my brother has stated, we, as a young fella, and I have both aspects of this, before I was aged for 20, I had been in the juvenile centers, the county jails. I came out of the military, out of the stockade, and the chain gangs in Georgia. And since then, after joining on the Minister Farrakhan, we know that the nation in Allah came in the person Master Farah Muhammad removes the impossible. So the turnaround is I became the head of one of the most powerful entities on the head of security for one of the most powerful entities on the planet, which is the TransUnion Credit Corporation headquarters, head of security for Providence Hospital, Cook County, and Doctors Hospital, and founder of the Actual Facts Research and Survival Center. In 1982, with the breakup of AT&T, my brother and I started the first black telephone company in Chicago with the breakup of them, and we began the process of building telecommunications. So our program of the building of the Nation of Islam rebuilt myself. I want to report to the audience that we just left Tuskegee University, hosted the minister for 4 days at that historical black college university, and it was most powerful, and I would say to everyone, get that lecture that he did on Friday, March 22nd, 2013. And I won't go any further other than and let the host go ahead and deal with it. And we, if necessary, we will give what was taking place down there later. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. And also, we have someone else on the line, and it might be Brother James. I'm not sure, but we're going to open up the line. Area code 314. Who's on the line, please? Area code 314. Okay, well, maybe they won't say nothing. Okay.
Now?
Oh, were they talking?
Hey, somebody said something.
Okay, area code 314, are you there? Well, let them come on.
Yes, ma'am. This is Brother Robert 11, ex St. Louis, Missouri.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Robert.
Welcome, Salam family. How is everyone?
Great.
I am by
everyone is fine, dear brother.
Yeah, I was invited to tune in to the show by Brother Kareem. And I've been listening to the guest speakers so far, but I'm just happy to hear everything that everybody is presenting, and I just really want to stay in tuned in to what's really going on with the show. I didn't get the basis of this show. I heard Brother Kareem mentioned that he wanted to speak on the practical aspects of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That is something that I personally can bear witness to. If this show is about gang violence, even with the practical aspect of doing for self, that has also some contribution to changing lives of young black men and women who may get caught up in gang violence. We can present them a better way of living if we implement a do-for-self, the do-for-self program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and give these young men and women options other than gang banging, stealing cars, selling drugs. We can take the same energy and turn it to a more positive thing if we implement and encourage young men and women to do something for themselves. So
absolutely.
I thank Brother Kaleem for inviting me to this particular phone call, this show, and I want to hear what everybody has to say.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Brother Kaleem, I'm going to let you take the reins and do your thing, but I have some questions, but I'm going to let you start.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely, and I appreciate that. You know, you got to hold my hand. You know, it's my first time out here like this here.
Yeah, right. Don't believe that, y'all. Don't believe that. This man had a radio show in Los Angeles, California. He does Spreaker recordings. As a matter of fact, he actually did one with me. He's on every show, the greatest supporter of our network that we have. Don't believe the hype. That's all I'm going to say.
What a man. All right. Well, yes, and thank you, Brother Robert, for tuning in. We're going to get you on the show at some point to go delve more into the Do For Self. However, this particular broadcast is dedicated to discussing gun violence and then also the violence that takes place. Well, specifically, number one, because charity begins at home and our work has to begin at home in our own communities. But this show is dedicated to dealing with gun violence, which is the type of violence we see mostly in our communities, and in violence in general in the society. But I have, first of all, a question. The question I want to ask is this of each of the panel and everybody that's here. The first question is this. What do you see as the main reason for the increased violence in the black community, in the society? You know, what do you see as the main reason for that? And I want to start with my brother out of Chicago.
Brother Barney Muhammad. I'm from Chicago.
Yes, sir.
I'm a legend.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay. What I would look at is the main reason for this violence that we're seeing in terms of, according to what I see individually and as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is that there is the man of violence on the planet. And he has put, meaning the Caucasian, who has put the devil that he is into us by teaching us wrongly. And because we had no knowledge of self, then we're imitating him. And the more we go into his education, the more we allow ourselves to look at his TV, the more we allow him to teach and train us, the more we become like him. And as the black man being the original man is the God of the universe, we can do anything well. All you have to do is give it to us. If you want us to be killers, we'll do that well. So that's an abstract of that. That's the root of it. So then we start dealing with the branches, the bad schools, the bad food, the bad thinking, all of that. But the root of it is a man who has built a world of wickedness. And by us buying into it, then that results in this kind of violence. And so we will then later, if I can get in later, let's talk. I will talk about what is the solution to the violence. But the root of the violence is the removal of this devil off the planet.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. All right, I want to go to, it's Brother Duran out of San Diego.
Yes, sir.
And same question. What do you see as the main reason for the increased violence in the black community today?
Can I share a story real quickly on us as black people?
Sure.
I have a god brother, and he came down to visit me, and he went over to Africa. He does he's a guide. He's a guide. So he tours the world. And he said that, you know, the brothers over there and the sisters, they asked him what tribe he was from. And he didn't know what to say. You know, I mean, so they said, well, what's your language? He said, English. I don't know. They said, you don't have a language, you know. And that kind of boggled my mind and his, you know, for them to ask that. And they just said, oh, brother, we feel for you, you know. So that, you know, we lost. We lost, you know. And each of us, I will go back to this. Some want to be called Afro-American. Some want to be called black. Some of us, and I'll be straight up, some of us don't mind calling each other nigger. We all mixed up, you know.
Yes,
that's all I can say is we're mixed up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You know, that's just something that, you know, we got to come together and have an understanding. And we don't have an understanding because, like I said, we all black, and all of a sudden, one want to be African American, one want to be a nigger, one want to be a Negro. I mean, whatever they call us, we cool with that, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I mean, and I can relate to that because coming through various eras, okay, at least I'll say the last 5 decades coming through. See, when I came up, I was thought I was black, and
okay.
I've always been black. I never changed, you know, as they came up with the Afro-American and just all the different names people have come up with. So basically what I'm looking at, when you say what you say, would it be a fair assessment to say, as you say, we lost you, we have no true sense of identity?
Okay, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
You know, far as me saying black, I had a person, lady, she was older generation, up in, we'll say Idaho, where they still, you know, are racist up there. And she's like, I had a colored, about the word colored. She said, I had a colored friend. I said, you can say black. It's okay. You know, I'm cool with black, personally. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, I'm cool with that.
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is Brother Barney Muhammad talking.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Barney.
Yes, sir. When we look at, you know, most of us can relate as we came up, what made us violent? You know, what made me do what I did? And as we begin to watch, or we start from the base of the messenger saying we need land that we can call our own, to be a sovereign people, to be able to govern ourselves. What we're seeing on the streets is the result of a people who are not governing themselves. I had no identity. I had no trade. I had no skill coming up. So when you go out on the street and try to get some kind of self-esteem, you bust somebody in the head, they take notice. You stick
mm-hmm.
somebody up, they take notice. Because we had no other way of developing ourselves. The wicked Caucasian or the slave master's children took away any other avenue for us to be able to be productive. So now with Minister Farrakhan saying, this is the solution. We get some land. We raise our children up to have skills. When they go to the earth and they bring up a crop and they take their crop to market, see, now they're making money, slinging cabbage, slinging butternut squash. And when you come to they field, they ain't going to let you bother that because they're watching their money grow. And now
mm-hmm.
they have self-esteem. These children out here are no different than I was. And so when they had in Chicago, they had a trade school called Washburn. They taught them the carpentry skills. They taught them all kind of skills. But as they saw us growing in our trades, they cut it out.
Hmm.
And so, as you know, the prison industrial complex, they're guaranteeing so many beds a month.
that they will feel. And in order to do it, they got to throw the rock and cause us to fight and kill one another like Yaqub. So we understand who's doing it, what they're doing. Now we have to deal with what's the solution to this problem. It is not in the government. It is not in the school system. It's not even in these organizations that may have programs. It has to be, we don't have no land, which is the basis of all freedom, justice and equality, social, economic freedom, then we are just still beggars, and they become slave masters.
Can I put something in there,
sir,
real quick?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You can. I want to get to Queen Alvisa after that, please.
Okay.
But go ahead,
okay,
brother.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, real quickly, I was talking. I came up with the conscious. I came up with the rap right off the rap with Eazy-E, N.W.A. And then you had Tupac. You had VDP, Boogie Down Productions. You had the Poor Righteous Teachers. You had conscious rappers that were saying some things that made you think. And those rappers went to the side, and the gang. What's a gang? The gangster rap took over. That is that's part of our problem too. I believe with the youth and that violence.
Yes, sir. This is Brother Robert 11X.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Robert.
I want to say this to the panel and to the listening audience, especially for those who are members of the Nation of Islam, such as myself. You know, that rap music movement that the brother just mentioned, those conscious brothers in rap were influenced by FOI men and women of the Nation of Islam. The communities in the 60s, in the 70s, also were impressed and were actually following the footsteps of the movement of the Nation of Islam when it came to being black and strong, you know, when it came to black men having businesses and actually doing things in the community. Our presence means something to a black community. Our presence in the community means something to black people. Our presence in black business means something to the black community. We are that clean glass that is to be set next to a dirty glass. Now, if the glass is not being put next to the dirty glass, what other example do the people have to look at? They see the minister from afar. We love him. We see him from far. But if we're not right in our own communities, being the example that our leader is giving us to be, as he is the example for us, then we will be charged with that neglect of duty. Because the only thing that's going to turn a gangbanger around is the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I've given these brothers DVDs of the minister, Young Gangbangers. They didn't really know me personally. I moved businesses into communities that I don't even grow up in. And when I go there, part of what I do is I introduce myself by giving them a DVD of the minister. Brother, check this out and come back and talk to me and tell me what you think of this. They don't know me from Adam. But when that little gangbanger come back after viewing that video, he's ready to hear something that I have to say, not only based on what I gave him of the minister, he see what I'm doing in the community. I'm opening up businesses. I'm buying real estate. That right there, along with that the spiritual teachings and guidance that the minister offers, now this young brother is impressed with Brother Robert, but Brother Robert is always telling him, study more of the minister. If we're not taking the lead in the community, we're part of the problem as well.
Okay.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir, absolutely. And Queen Alvisa, you said you had some questions. I want to bring you front and center. Let's, Let's get one of your questions, at least.
Well, before I ask a question, I wanted to comment on your question, Brother Kareem, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Okay, and this, again, excuse my voice. I have been talking all day and fighting a cold, so I hope you all can hear me okay. But
yes,
when you asked about the causes of, you know, the violence in our community today, you know, we have to look at our morality, and we have to look at the root of our division. You know, we are divided in so many ways. We are divided by faith. We are divided by economic status. You know, we are divided by academics in a lot of ways. And so the worst thing that ever happened to black people in general and in particular is the integration, because our goals and, you know, and our aspirations were turned away from self, and we tried to gravitate and fit in to a land and a culture that is not naturally our own. And as you talk about the music, the rap music, the brothers, in particularly Brother Duran, that, you know, they didn't just step aside. When you talk about Public Enemy and when you talk about Pac, and I don't care what nobody say, it's my personal opinion. And you know me, I speak straight words. I think the reason why Brother Tupac Amaru Shakur is not here with us today is because of some of his lyrics. And when he says, you know, we're going to form a third political party, I think that really, really hit Washington, D.C. where it hurts, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that our unity is more powerful than a nuclear bomb. And that's the last thing that this society, this white capitalist society, wants to see. So those brothers didn't necessarily step aside. However, our industries are controlled by those who, of course, have no good intention for us. So much so that when a conscious rapper these days come to them, knowing that this person is very talented, they want to change the image that this person is projecting. So if he is a conscious rapper, they're going to change him into a gangster rapper. They're going to dangle all kind of trinkets in his face and offer him all kind of fat contracts and sell him false hopes and false dreams. And then there goes his soul, now has a price tag. So a lot of our rappers are actually portraying the life and the lifestyle that they are not even aware of. Yes, we do have some musical artists out there that have been gangbangers and things of that nature. However, a lot of them have not, but they are being paid to glamorize such a lifestyle. And so this impact on our communities has been devastating. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that one day we will bring the devil into our living room. Well, how is that so? Well, every time you cut on BET and MTV and anything else you want to cut on, you know, there we are, half naked, acting like gangsters, wearing gold chains around our neck, pumping up guns, talking about who we going to take out, and we talking about taking people out on a block that we don't even own. So our morality has been far removed from us, and the cause of that morality being removed is the integration into a culture that is not our own. And that's what I wanted to input on your question. But I wanted to get to, if you don't mind, Brother Kareem, I wanted to offer these statistics, and I know you may have pulled some of your own, but I have some resources that I pulled some favors from someone who works in the U.S. Department of Justice. And in 2011, 10,225 black persons died by the hands of a gun. Also during that year, as a result of those deaths, 13,217 children were orphaned by one parent or another due to that gun violence. And so when we look at those astronomical numbers, you know, no one is really speaking to the effect that it has on the family, that it has on the children, that it has on, you know, just the community in itself. So my question to the panel is that, do you think it is a feasible solution for the black men in our community to step up and take that role of being leaders in the community and mentoring to these young men who are just being allowed to go astray because of the absenteeism of men in the household? And I'm going to ask Brother Duran first, if you would.
Yeah, that right there is, I'm definitely in agreement with that. You know, for the brothers that have, you know, came through the community, the older generation, and they should step up, you know. But some of them are still stuck mentally. And that's just where they are, you know. And you have to get like-minded brothers with you to stand with you. Because that's what I'm going through right now in my community. I mean, you spoke of pain financially. These people, the powers that be, so we'll go with that, they know how we operate. You know, we're materialistic. We're about the dollar. We'll sell each other out. And I'm just speaking from where in my community where it is. I mean, we have brothers that getting paid to keep our community in chaos. I won't say outcast. I will say that there are more conspiring around me that like, he's crazy, he's this. But I know what's going on in the community because we can come together and, you know, they got a lot of organizations. They're not doing anything, you know, and they're getting paid. And that's the key. They'll pay a little money to keep the finances coming in. To the puppet master, you know, and he got all these brothers out here like on a string, you know. He needs some brothers to step up.
Wow.
It's bad. I'm just, you know, I'm passionate about this because it's not a coincidence that I'm on this, you know, we're on this blog radio station with you, you know, speaking on this because this is what's happening. You hit it, you know, you covered it, and that's what it is. But I'm ready to step up for my community. And those in my community, youth, they know this.
All praises due to Allah. Okay, Brother Barney, what about what you think?
What do you want?
Brother Barney, are you there?
Okay, can you hear me? Can you
yes,
hear me?
Sir.
Yes, we can.
Sir.
I can.
Okay. And that's beautiful. And because we have the brothers, like our brother Darren and others who desire. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the best and only solution to our problem is separation. Now, we can try all we can. The minister had us, still have us in the street, going to our people. We go to our people not with proposals, not with anything other than but love, because they haven't seen, especially our black men, they haven't seen love in a long time. People coming to them not looking for something back. So that was the first step. And we was out there, and the minister and one of the young brothers came up. Because all of them love us in the street. I had those who sat in high ranks in what you call in the street organizations come to me and said, brothers, I love you on the street. He said, when y'all come out, he said, the killing stops. He said, but when y'all leave, it starts back. And so one of the brothers came up to Minister Farrakhan. And he said, brother, I'm glad you're out here. He said, brother, but I don't have a job, brother. I don't have a way to make money. And the minister, when he got back and we did our debriefing at the mosque, he said, Messenger Muhammad wanted us to have the nation as the mosque as the employment centers for our people. So now the minister is embarked on 52 weeks series of time and what must be done. And what must be done right now is separation. Now, that can't be just something said in a vacuum, and it can't be something done by osmosis. Our people are dying in the street because we are in a position where there's no work for our men. So our women, they give it to our women because you kill the male and you spare the female. And until we separate, then we're going to continue to, it's going to get worse and worse. The minister is under no illusion that he's going to stop violence because the scripture says blood will flow in the streets as high as a horse's bridle. But we can save those whose hearts are with Allah and his messenger, and the Muslims who don't even know they're Muslims, and those who, whatever they call themselves, Christian or whatever, they are all servants of God. So he's got us in the street to make sure that everybody has heard, because judgment cannot come until all have heard. And in the meantime, he's asking us to pool our nickels and dimes so that we can get some land. So now we can get out of here and we can produce everything we have. We got great scientists, engineers, biochemists. We got people coming out of colleges with PhDs and everything. So we're not lacking in ability to rule a nation. We just need land, as the messenger said, that we can call our own.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And Brother Robert, did you want to come in as well?
Well, you know, it always goes back to economics with me. After I went to a high school seminar with a couple of brothers that I've known for years. This was some years back, and I was not used to any type of public speaking at the time. And one of the young brothers out in Phoenix, Arizona, by the name of Brother Ghazi, just a dynamic representative of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And when he got up and spoke, he had these young people fired up with a very fiery spiritual speech, I would say. And then there was Sister Jamila, who was a state congressman here. She was there. And so I was asking myself, how am I going to come behind these dynamic, well-known people and reach these young people? At that time, I was about 10 years into entrepreneurship. I hadn't been on a job at that time about 10 years. And as always, Allah showed me a way. He put on my mind to go in your pocket and pull your money out and walk on that stage and ask those young people, how many of you want to know how to get some of this in your pockets to feed your family legally? And that whole audience erupted. And at that point, because I had a partner that really taught me how to buy real estate with no money down, he told me, he said, I don't even want to see your ID. I'm going to give you a knowledge that you won't even have to pull your ID out to buy real estate. And I've owned 5 pieces of property since then, bought, owned a finance, a couple of commercial pieces of property, never been to the bank to do this. So at that point, I realized that these young men that sold dope, that sell dope and have, like myself, have sold dope, we want a better life. No doubt about it. I wasn't out there selling dope for the fame or glory. But you can't come to a brother like myself or those brothers that are out there like me with a fire and brimstone type of teaching, but then no representative of a practical aspect of life. I got to see what you're saying in the practical sense. How is what you're saying going to feed my family? And this is the part of this whole thing that I don't believe that we're getting. We have to have this knowledge. This body of knowledge is a wonderful body of knowledge. It's the best thing that ever happened to me personally. So when I go and approach these young people, I tell them, look, brother, if you don't join the Nation of Islam, you need to know the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a black man. I don't care if you're in church or whatever. You need to know these teachings. You need to have these teachings. This is for black men. So that's all I'm trying to say is we have to, in a practical way, what Kareem said, in a practical way, reach our young men and women and be an example, as you said, sister, the black man being an example. We have to be an example. We have to put this knowledge, this body of knowledge, into practical application and show the people that we know, not we believe we have the right information, but that we know we have the right information, because look what it's doing for our lives personally. We are no longer the white man's tool or fool or slave, and we're not going to continue to keep building his corporation because we're building our own corporations. Thank you.
All right. I'm with that.
That's right.
All right, well, Brother Kareem, I'll turn it back over to you. I've asked my question.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful question. And just so that we do stay on point, for those who are listening, and I know you're hearing a lot about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you're hearing about Islam, but I don't want you to feel left out, and understand that's why we want you to call in. This is a show about your participation in this, because the only way we are going to rise is if we participate. Something that I always like to say and share with people is participate or dissipate. And before I get to my next question, on something that has been spoken about by everybody on the show.
Brother Kareem, I'm sorry. You know, I forgot that maybe we need, because we have some callers on the line, maybe we need to remind them how to make a comment right quick. So for those of you who are listening by phone, please press 1 on your dial pad and we will open your mic and allow you to ask your question. For those of you who are in the chat room, please type in your question and I will ask it on your behalf. I'm sorry, Brother Kareem. Go ahead and proceed.
Oh, no, no. Thank you very much. We just, how they going to participate if they don't know how? That's right.
Yes, sir.
And what I wanted to share with you, what I wanted to share with you is I know you've heard us talk about the Caucasian. You may have heard the term devil, but I want individuals to understand something from the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad about what this influence, and I'm going to use that term, is. He says in the book Message to the Black Man, page 105, and this is paragraphs 4 through 7, I'm going to go through it very quickly. He says, now, the world must know how to distinguish the real devils from the non-devils, for there are thousands of our peoples throughout the world who can hardly be distinguished by color from the real devil. There are certain climates which seem to change the white race into a red or brown color, and where they mix freely with our own kind, their skin and eyes show a difference in color. Their eyes are brown and grayish blue. Now listen, this is the real important part. By carefully watching their behavior, you can easily distinguish them from our people, dark, brown, yellow, or red. The characteristics of their children are easily distinguished from the original children, regardless of how near in color they may be. The devil children, whenever they are around and among original children, like to show off and love to make mockery of the original children. They teach them evil, talk filth, sing filthy songs, filthy dancing and games, and will not leave the original children without starting the fight. Their little mouths, like their parents before them, are filled with cursing and swearing. And the reason I say that is because, again, you're saying that this is not about color. This is about practical application, yes, of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but we also must be able to identify those influences on us that keep us from moving forward. And so at this point, yes, I would like to open up, and anybody that's on the line that has a question, please press the number 1 on your keypad so we can open up your mic so you can ask your question or make a comment. Anybody with a question or comment?
Not yet.
All right, all right. Well, we're going to roll on. And hopefully we'll get some participation as things continue. Now, the second question that I have is this, and some of this has been answered, but I want to put it out here specifically so we can get specific information on it. Who do you see as the main orchestrators of this effort to wipe out black people and the poor and black men in particular? That's the question, and I want to put that question, and I know you, how your voice is, but I want to put that question to you first, Queen of Visa, and then we'll go around the panel.
Wow. The orchestrator, huh?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, let me just say this real briefly. You have to understand that when they brought us over here in slavitude, not servitude, but in slavitude, and they began to develop their policies for America, know that we were not included in those policies. We were mere property. And so as time has rolled on, you have to understand that those who are in position of power, historically, the outlook of their policies and how they implement them and how they write them and incorporate them into law are not written in a way where we as a people are equal. So in our pursuit of freedom, justice, and equality, it cannot be done under the current policies because the policies were not written for us. They did not include us. So if I had to just name someone, I would not name a particular person, but I would name that the policies of America itself is the orchestrator of all of the corruption, not only in America, but all over the world. Because everywhere American policy has invaded, they have created chaos and destruction and massive death. So it is the policies that drive what the people actually do and what they are allowed to do. So the killing of our children, the killing of our black men, the imprisonment of our black men, how they have technically rewritten the laws for slavery. A lot of people pay homage to Abraham Lincoln for so-called freeing us. However, you know, we were only free in their aspect, but not in the aspect in which God created us to be free. So now they have found a way to put us back on the plantation, which is imprisonment. And so these policies are not conducive for any human being. And the policies are written where they take out their own people if necessary to maintain their way of life. And so the policies of America itself are wicked, in my opinion, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And that same question to Brother Duran, please.
Ah, man. Sister Gidget covered it so well. Yes, absolutely. She used the words without, you know what I mean, being politically correct, which is a beautiful thing. She can do that. I admire her for that. She covered it. Yeah, you covered it. And that's the way that you have to do sometimes. To get your full message across. You talked about the policies, because the era that I come through, being 47, a lot of laws were made, and they still exist today, due to the things that I'll say myself and others created, you know, the three strikes laws, the automatic weapons, you know, and we'll go to that real quickly. we don't got. Where are we getting Uzis, MAC-10s, M11s, M16s? Where were we getting all that stuff from? But when it got to the point where now the police had to have, you know, that kind of artillery, then the federal government come in and shut it down. Well, that's what they did in San Diego. They would stop a brother at a corner and have the whole block, that particular block, would be shut down and have four police officers with mini 14s in black ninja outfits to shut this down. So I've seen how the federal government, you know, we talk about the government, how they operate. But like I said, Sister Gidget covered it all. I'm in a total agreement with her answer.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And I want to, Brother Robert, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, just like the brother said, the sister covered that so properly. I mean, I could just start naming names. George Bush. Ex-President Clinton, Ford, Kissinger. I mean, all of them presidents, bro. And the administration. I mean, so she covered it well.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, I'm still going to ask Brother Boyd if he want to chime in.
Okay. All of those answers were well. Sister Queen talked about the policies. Brother Darren talked about the laws. And our Brother Robert talked about the individuals that he saw. And I think, you know, all of the above. But also we want to remember that before 6,000 years, this Caucasian wasn't on the planet. And so as the black man raised him up to knowledge to take over, he is given what he called Yaku's technology on how to rule the black man with tricks and lies and cause us to fight and kill one another. And so when we look at the policies that Sister Queen talked about and the laws that Brother Darren talked about and Brother Robert, then we have to understand that who's the driver of these policies. And so there's a condition that the messenger says, study the white man. He's successful. He makes no excuses for his failures, and he works together in a collective manner. Collective manner. This is what we're talking about, the policies, Sister Queen. We talked the laws and those presidents that our brother talked about. And then the engine would have to be those who say they are Jews, but are not, but are the synagogues of Satan. There is a cabal. Because the first ones coming out of the caves were the Jews, and they taught this knowledge. And then they were supposed to use that knowledge, wait for Elijah, and for they would go and find a place for them. But they use it for technology. And so now they're manipulating everything on the planet to the end, as Minister Farrakhan once said, every time they want a trend to happen, they will marshal their forces, their media, their song and dancers, their court justice, all of this in order to move that policy forward. So when we see things happening, we don't see them happening in osmosis. I mean, they have this thing on cable called Unsung. And it sometimes makes you want to cry crocodile tears when you see all those famous entertainers that, you know, and you wonder who is the hand. And this is a fellow named, Cleve Davis and these few Jews who are sitting around here pulling the strings at the detriment of our people. So we called, y'all have called it absolutely correct. The minister is calling out the engine, those who claim they are Jews or say they are Jews and are not. And he's calling them out. And while they're after him, not paying attention, we go to work building. But the messenger again said we must separate from them. We cannot make it dealing with them, and everything they have is not useful. So we have to go into a land we call our own, either on this continent or otherwise. But the minister has already told us we're taking this. It's been, and that's where our the 3-year economic plan, as our brother was saying, economics, that 3-year economic plan, I won't go into it now on this program, but everyone should follow that, because this is what's going to, not just Muslims, this is going to get all our people together, starting here in America, and black, brown, red, yellow, all over the planet. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, here we are at the top of the hour. We're ready to go into 9 o'clock. I just want to remind everybody, you are listening to and hopefully soon participating in Conscious Black Nation here
on Nation Building Network. And now to my third question, which, again, we've covered this, but I want to get more into some specific solutions, not just general, but some specific things a person can do. For example, say that they don't have a job, but they need to feed their family, some specific things they can do of a legal nature. Person that's without a home, how can they, some specific things, very briefly, how can they get into that shelter that they need to be able to be comfortable enough to even think with peace of mind to be able to move to the next step? And that question is this: what measures or steps must we take, not can we, but must we take, to stop this imminent threat to our existence and eventual rise? I mean, what is it that we must do? We know the minister's doing a 50, like your brother mentioned, Brother Barney mentioned, a 52-week lecture series, the time and what must be done. So what can we do individually, locally, all right, to stop this violence? I mean, the show was about gun violence. You know, I mean, what can we do when we run up on the young brother that's all he had? He's got his gun, and so he wants to take me out. What can I do? And so I want to start with you, Brother Duran.
I'll say this. Is that you said this at the beginning of the show. One of the panelists did. They talked about love.
Yes, sir.
And I say that to say, you know, in the penitentiary, I go there because there were so many things and so many people going through so many different changes in there, and you see them every day. Love was something that was like the enemy. If you had a cellie that didn't get any mail, you know, he might jump down and grab your mail, and say if you're on the top bunk, and he might kick you by accident, you know what I'm saying? But yet, you know, you figure, what are you jumping down for the mail for? And it's not for you, and you ain't had no mail. But he want to be part of that love that's coming into you. And I'm just talking about love is something that a lot of people don't have. They want it, and love can be the enemy to a lot that just don't know what it is and have not received it, you know. But they can see it, you know. And that's, I would say, is love, you know. You gotta have love in your heart, you know. And you can have knowledge. You can talk a dude, you know what I'm saying, out of killing someone, you know. I mean, I've been there, you know. You gotta communicate, you know. That's on that part right there. You know, getting through to you gotta communicate and give them love. And be there for them when they're struggling, because they just need somebody there to say it's going to be okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Brother Robert, what do you have to say on that?
Well, I do agree with the love. Definitely, I agree with you. You gotta have a great understanding of what that word love is. A greater understanding of what that word love is, and begin at home, first of all. You have to really embrace the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I'm saying that to Muslims that are in the Nation of Islam that know about these teachings. You know, in our communities, you know, if we arm ourselves with these weapons, then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the only person or people we're going to kill is one another. I bear witness, without a gun, without a knife, you think a little different when you're faced with a dangerous situation. With the teachings and believing in the teachings, and as he said, understanding our people's pain, you can speak into that person that may be trying to cause a little harm, or maybe they wanted to come in there with their mind set to do something, but Allah is your protector, not that gun and none of that kind of stuff. So, and when you're in business, when you're actually in the community conducting business, then you come face to face with those possible dangers, and that right there confirms
your, at that moment, belief in the teachers, but once you go through that type of experience, you no longer have belief. You actually know that these teachings are right and exact. So I say that to that, brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And Brother Barney.
Yes. Yes, I hear that the definition of the love is one thing. We must have a special unconditional love, what they call a mother's love for our people. That what makes, and brother said in the joint, they need family. You know, most of us coming out of the madness of this world, we mistreat our families to a point that by the time they go to jail, they don't even have any more family. So what making Minister Farrakhan and as the messenger so great in the work that we're talking about, the practical application, is that they showed a genuine mother's love, unconditional. I see where you at. I understand the condition you're coming from, and we deal with that. The second thing we have to do is we have to give to this. If I came out without a job, without money, and still did not have the desire to do crime, what was it that I had, regardless of whether I had a job or not? Someone who had something, another Muslim, came to me and offered to me what he had. And that was a direction. He sent me to the mosque. Now, people say, well, that's big. That is very big, because what he gave me was discipline. Because with a job, I was extravagant and wasteful. So being extravagant and wasteful, I can care less if somebody have a job and go out there and just go buy some women. I don't care if you ever get a job. The problem is we have to get you where you would take that money and do constitutional scientific conditions with that money in building a nation. So unconditional love, a mother's love, we got to be stop being wasteful, and there is a need for discipline. And so that's what I think that we need to do is start. You can't get past a brother saying that when he's out, and he knows that God has protected him. Our people don't know God. They know only that as presented to them. They need to know the reality of a living God, and they got to know the reality of man as God. And if they don't learn that, there's nothing else you can do for them. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right, all right. And Queen, oh, Queen, what do you have to say about that? Answer to that question.
Okay, ask the question again.
Yes, ma'am. The question is, what measures or steps must we take to stop this imminent threat? And we're talking about what our subject is, the gun violence, the violence period, to our existence and our eventual rise. You know, what are some of the practical steps we can take?
Well, I think first and foremost, Our so-called spiritual leaders need to come together in the community and stop spiritually pimping people and tell them the truth.
Yes,
I think our elders need to get involved. I think our parents need to stop turning a blind eye or sugarcoating things, acting like they don't know what their young children are getting off into. It's about accountability and responsibility. And I can't fathom being a mother of three adult children. My son is 32 years old right now, but you can't pay him to talk back to me. So I don't fathom people being afraid of their children. So when your children are 15 and 16 years of age, I got a problem. Why is your child getting shot at 2 o'clock in the morning on some street corner? You know, why is your child 15 years old in the club? You know, I don't get that. So it's about accountability and responsibility. The other thing I think that our men who are in the community have to step up and start policing our communities. And I don't mean going out there and knocking anybody upside their head, but I'm saying that when you see that young man on that corner, you know, don't be aggressive, but talk to him, encourage him to do something different. Be there for him. Be someone that he can come to and talk to about some of the things that he's facing, you know, in his day-to-day life. You know, because you know, as a man, you can look at the boys in your community, and you can tell just by looking who has a father and who does not. And you know that the majority of them don't. Get with like minds and form alliances that will help you to gather these young men. You know, go to these mothers, and I know you can't just go door to door, but go to these schools. You know, go to these community programs, those who are fortunate enough to have them, and speak to the students, and start a brotherhood with these young men, and involve the elders, you know, so that they can draw from that knowledge and wisdom and understanding of our elders as well, so that, you know, they can have the tools that they need to deal with, you know, the crisis that they are facing. But if we don't make people inclusive, and if we don't hold people accountable, we're going to always be facing this problem. We sitting up here waiting on the police to come in here and, you know, get gun control. They got gun control. They sure do. They killing your babies.
Come on.
That's their policy for gun control. And then if a black person kills another black person, with the statistics saying that out of 10,225 people who were killed by guns in the year of 2011, 93% of them were killed by other blacks, don't you know that the police policy for the United States of America when it comes to a black man is 2-for-1? And what I mean by 2-for-1, that means that if one kills another one, they are so, so happy because you got one nigga dead and one nigga you can enslave.
That's right.
But if we don't teach them how they are being the pawns of the game, and we sitting up here praying and snotting and crying, and we're not being proactive in our communities, then we can't sit back and expect it to get better. But if each parent, each caretaker will take the responsibility of teaching their children. Now, I came up, there was a time when I was divorced, or going through a divorce, and I was like, okay, I told my children, I can't watch you and feed you too. But we had programs in the community, and if I didn't have programs at the time, I had the mighty FOI. I was not going to let my children be subject to what was going on in the street. So find your resources that is going to protect your children, but not only that, educate them, and then educate yourself. Because if you a father and you out there smoking weed with your child, drinking beer with your child, you know, glamorizing that you need to be packing, then there's something wrong with you too. You need to go get some help, because I'm talking about from what I see. You know, we got some parents, they so pumped about being parents, you want to be your child's friend. You know, that all of that mess has to go. And see, we watch too much television because we see white parents get on there talking about, I'm not only your mother, I want to be your friend. No, you need to be a parent. You get your friends elsewhere, because parents have a responsibility. And that's what we have gotten away from, is parenting our children, because it starts at home. It's something that's going on at home or something that's not going at home that allows your child to have the morality or the lack of it, to have a mindset to go out and pick up a gun and want to shoot somebody. So we can't wait on anybody else to do what we should be doing.
That's right.
I'm done.
Yes,
I'm done.
We have all things to do to a lot. That's right. You calling it down just like it is. Now, before we go on, because we're getting ready to, we still got some time, but we're winding down. I want to share this in relation to everybody's answer, and then in these last minutes of the show. Since we haven't had any questions or any comments from the listening audience, and I repeat, this is your show. You're the one that's going to make it, because it's about participation. But I want to share something else from the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's in the book, Message to the Black Man. And by the way, anybody that doesn't have this book, I'm not telling you, we're not telling you that you got to come to the mosque and become a Muslim and give up your religion or whatever you're into.
But this book contains vital information when practically applied, which will help you in your life no matter where you are. But in this book, just notice that this is what he says. Starts on page 170, goes to page 171. It's in the section titled Program and Position. He says, we must stop relying upon the white man to care for us. We must become an independent people. So-called Negroes should, one, separate yourselves from the slave master. Two, pool your resources, education, and qualifications for independence. Three, stop forcing yourselves into places where you are not wanted. Four, make your own neighborhood a decent place to live. Five, rid yourselves of the lust of wine and drink and weed and cocaine and blunts. And I'm going to just, yeah, you know what it is. You know what it all is that you do. And what is that, peach or masakacha or mojito, whatever it is. I don't know. I ain't had a drink in so long. It says, wine and drink and learn to love self and your kind before loving others. Unite to create a future for yourself. Build your own homes, schools, hospitals, and factories. Eight, do not seek to mix your blood through racial integration. Nine, stop buying expensive cars, fine clothes, and shoes before being able to live in a fine home. 10, spend your money among yourselves. 11, build an economic system among yourselves. 12, protect your women. And I can relate to what the Queen said about when you had sisters within the framework of the Nation of Islam, and even in the neighborhood. I remember back in the day when I was younger, we took on the role of uncle. You know, we didn't try to be necessarily the child's daddy, but we took on the role of uncle. If the sister had children, particularly male children in her home, and there was no, we would come and take them and go do things with them, could participate in activities with them to give them, to show them what a man is, what a man does, so that they would have an example and grow up. And I'm not going to mention anybody in particular by name, but those one Muslim sister didn't have the husband in the home at the time, and not out of lust, but out of a love for her and her children. Allah blessed me to be an example for them at that time. And see, those are the things that we do have to do. We have got to get back to the basics. All this so-called new parenting stuff, I mean, I hear people talk about a timeout. What the hell is a timeout? I mean, what are we playing, basketball, football? You know, go stand in the corner. See, I remember. Now, don't get me wrong. I did some wicked things. I mean, I was in, just very briefly, I was involved in helping to destroy the neighborhood through the selling of drugs and things like that at one time. And I'm a brother that was raised under these teachers. You understand what I'm saying? And even the only way I could even do it was to stay numb. What we called high all the time. Today, I call it being loaded. And that was the only way I could even do it. But I participated in those things at a certain point in time in my life. However, by the same token, I remember the people when I was little, how you could, when you went down the street, you did something wrong. You cut somebody out or you had a fight. Okay? You would get chastised on the way home, and then by the time you got home, you knew you were going to get the real beating.
That's
when they say it takes a village to raise a child, I understand what that means. And so as the Queen was saying, and as all of you have talked about the economics, see, the economics, we got to have. We must have economics. But without a moral base, the economics mean nothing. Because you've all heard this term, a fool and his money are thrown apart.
Absolutely.
So if I don't have the moral base, if I don't have the wherewithal, if I don't have the correct way of thinking, if I don't love my people, if I don't love myself and then love my people, Then you could give me all the money in the world. I could open all the businesses in the world. But it's going to go right back to the enemy because I have no basis in self. You know, so we have to have a moral base. And as I mentioned before, and I want to get everybody else in on this before we close this out. As I mentioned before, if you just get the book, just that one book for now, Listen to the Black Man in America, and read the book. What you don't agree with, you just don't agree with. But the things that you see in there that can be an answer if you be honest with yourself, take that and begin to apply it in your life. Just take that and begin to apply it in your life, and you will see a change. You'll see exactly what Brother Barney, Brother Duran, pardon me, Brother Robert, and the Queen were saying. So on that note, I want to just go around the table. Whoever wants to jump in, you jump in. And you know, in these final minutes of the show, what is it that we can do individually and collectively, just real quickly, to implement, or like I said, so we can stop this gun violence in particular?
This is Brother Barney Muhammad.
Yes,
very
sir.
Quickly. Brother, you know, only thing I can say at this point to make anything sense to me is that from the minister and his teaching of the time of what must be done, we are out of time. And I'm saying to the people, at the sound of my voice, get behind Minister Farrakhan. As Noah was building an ark and he was talking about a flood coming, America is fallen. As fallen, it's become a habitation of devils. If you look around you, everything is closing down. The white man knew it a long time ago. He made a picture called The Day the Earth Stood Still. And the reason being because they were so wicked at that point. And a man of peace came to them and told them, this has got to go because you would wind up having a problem with the rest of us in the universe. The minister is saying the same thing. I really don't have no faith in any entrepreneurial condition today other than getting behind the minister, pulling what else we have today. For those in real estate, we see they closed down in Chicago. They either stopped the salespeople and brokers and came up with a whole other piece. I'm just saying we need to study that man and get behind him in whatever we're doing and help that man begin to build that protection for us. That's the only thing I can suggest to the people. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
And Sister Queen. I'm sorry, Sister Queen.
Anyone else?
Well, I'll say something to that. You know, how can I put this? Well, I'm not in the mood to be candid because I got a headache.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me just say this: in most of our Black communities, and I really mean no harm. I really don't. Mm-hmm. You know, we're at a point of time where I mentioned earlier we are divided by so many things, and we are divided by faith. And it amazes me how in the Black communities all across America, there's a church on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see no preachers. I don't see no deacons. I don't even see no cowboys in the street teaching on the judgment or addressing the morality of our people. But I do see them holding events and fundraisers and things of that nature for the church. But let me tell you something about God, Allah. He don't need your money.
Come on
and
now.
Money is not saving our children. Our children are dying, and these parents don't even have money to bury their children.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? No one plans on burying their children. And so I think for all of those who call themselves scriptural theologians, preachers, deacons, whatever you are, you know, if you call yourself representing God, then you need to represent. because you can invite people to your church, but you don't reach out to your community to try to save them. Now, this is not all preachers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying all, but I'm saying that compared to the number of churches that we have in the black community, we should have massive amounts of black men in leadership in those churches working in their communities. It is far too few who are out there trying to reach the masses. These brothers, and I'm going to talk about them, and I don't give a damn who like it. These brothers with these mega churches, with these mega churches, and like, and I'm going to call his name, like Reverend Hilliard in Houston. You in Houston, Texas, and everybody else got to fight through traffic, but you so busy, you got two mega churches, and you got to get in a helicopter to go from one to the other in the city of Houston. High as gas is.
Wow.
Really? Okay. But then, not one time have I heard you do a youth rally. Not one time have I seen you at protest against, you know, gun violence in our community. Not one time. You know, but you can pay for broadcasts, you can pay for helicopters, and you can pay for $2 million homes and $9 million churches. Okay. Okay. But God don't like ugly, and he ain't crazy about pretty.
So
if you're not speaking to the souls of the people, and if you are not working to turn the people back to God, then your work is in vain and your work is not fruitful. So you need to sit down somewhere, because you know Christ, the real Christ, is on the scene. And how you know that? A pope has not stepped down from the position of pope in 600 years. It ain't the fact that he stepped down. Look at the time. The time he stepped down. 600 years, there has not been a pope of Rome to step down from the position. Why did he get out the way? He got out the way because he knows the real Christ is on the scene. That's why. And then in the same breath, at the same time, his head cardinal going to get up and apologize for sexual misconduct in the Catholic Church. You going to apologize? You can't apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed that thing.
That's right.
But they're trying to get out of the way. So all of those people who are out there spiritual pimping because you're not preaching and you're not teaching, you need to get out of the way. Because you are leading people astray. Woe to you, says the Holy Quran, that lead a people astray. You have a responsibility when you go to a seminary school and you want to wear the title of father, reverend, bishop, or whatever, and you are not doing justice to the people. It's not about how big of a church you put up. It's about how many people that you can teach and turn their souls back to God. And if you're not doing that, you need to sit down somewhere.
Yeah, he's on that.
I'm sorry.
Sister Gidget, when you coming down to San Diego, California, anytime soon? I need you with me.
I haven't been to San Diego in quite a while, so, brother, I tell you what, I don't know when, but when I do, Brother Duran, you know I'm going to call you.
Good. You hit everything that's going on. You know, I'm so excited, you know, by you covering all of that. I don't know where to begin, you know, but when I hear what you're saying, because, I mean, we got the churches down here. We got the organizations. You know, they don't come out to church. I mean, you got a group of people conspiring against you because you saying like how you shared that. Oh man, they lose their mind down here. You know, a strong black woman saying
brother,
that.
They already lost their mind. They didn't already lost their mind. I'm gonna help them find it. That's what.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, and they dividing. You know, and I try to tell a gentleman that we had an organization together, and I said they're gonna divide us, man. I said because we're making a splash in the community, you know, and then they slid somebody up under him and gave him some money, and then they separated us because I wasn't going to take the money, you know. I didn't take the money, and that's what they do. They know what, like you say, one of the brothers say, they study us, you know. They study us, you know. And somebody came to me and told me, he said, hey, man, you guys doing a lot out here, man. A lot of people talking about you guys. And I'm sharing with the brother, and all of a sudden, his big old head, and, you know, he want to be bigger than what we're doing. It's all about him. I said, man, they already said they're going to separate us, man. Oh, it ain't going to happen, OG. It ain't going to happen. Man, me and dude don't even speak to each other, you know. I mean, that's about all we do is speak. Let me take that back. All we do is speak. And that's what they do. They separate and conquer. And, you know, they knew I wasn't going to fall for the okie-doke, but they knew him. They studied him, you know, and they slid all kind of stuff up under him, gave him $30,000, which, you know, he didn't do anything with it as of this very moment. But, you know, that's what took him off to the side. They paid him $600 a month, you know, to stand on the corner. You know, come on, man. Do something with that money for the community so the kids can really see what you're doing. You know, you got to lead by example, you know. So he's doing what he's doing. But Sister Gidget covered it all.
We got them kind of prostitutes too, brother.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And you really don't want to say nothing because I've been in the system to where the police picked me up. I was about to sue them. They scooped me up, fabricated some charges, put me in jail, get to prison. They didn't change my last name to my middle name. So I'm going all over the place. Didn't take my fingerprints. I'm just saying I know what they can do, you know, to one person. So I have to be careful on how I, you know, address all these issues like we talked about in this community because, it's like you said, it's a lot of prostitutes out here, you know, in this community. It's sad.
Yep, and they
you know.
Got pimps. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm just going to
want to ask you, what kind of time are we looking at?
We have 29 minutes.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. That's a beautiful thing. Brother Robert, you still with us?
Hold on. I think his mic went mute. Hold on. Brother Robert,
yes,
are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
You can hear me? Okay, good. I've been getting the ear full.
Yes, sir.
My stomach is bulging right now.
You said what now, bro?
I said my stomach is bulging right now. I've been fed well.
That being the case, brother, can you share with us your thoughts on what you just heard us discuss just in the last, say, 10 or 15 minutes?
Yes. It takes all different types of minds to build this nation. And one thing that has been with brothers and myself, because I'm so strong about this do for self, the economics of things, you know, people, I heard them say stuff like, well, brother, you just all about money. Well, that's not true, but at the same time, you need that medium of exchange just like you need oxygen in your lungs. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And with that being said, there's balance to everything. Now, when one has not been an advocate or one who has tried and continues to try doing for self, then you will never get the spiritual lesson that it blesses you with when you do for self. I was a young boy, and I heard from a pastor's mouth that we were made in the image and likeness of God. I remember that so well. So when I heard that, that just really stuck to my brain. I'm made like God as a Christian. I heard that. But I never heard it after that again until I got to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
that message carried me a long way in my life. If I always said, well, damn, if I'm made like God in the image and likeness of God, that got to me. I'm a powerful person. And that's what kept me for so long. So when I came into the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the first thing that I heard that really grabbed me was, the black man and woman must do for self. And then I heard at that time, he said the white man was the devil, or is the devil. And then let me tell you why those two things stuck with me. I grew up in a very racist part of St. Louis, Missouri, called Jenny's, Missouri, where the police literally made us run home barefoot in the wintertime as young teenagers, 12, 13 years old. We used to, for fun, go down to the railroad tracks at nighttime, knowing that these white boys would chase us. That was our ideal of fun. It was so racist. So these teachers to me are very, very real in my life. And the conditions in which I was brought up in really has helped me get a thorough understanding of why Allah allowed me to live, come up a certain way. So the do for self, for me, it's not just about money. It's been a struggle these last 20 years that I've been off the Caucasian's job. For the last 20 years, I'm a high school dropout, a four-time convicted felon, an ex-drug user as well. So it ain't been. I don't have college, no kind of college degrees, none of that. But at the same time, this whole program, do for self, this whole program of loving thyself, this program of you should know who you are, where you come from, why are you a black man, all of that ties into do for self, all of it. If you don't practice it, you will never see that like that. But if you practice do for self, when you come off of the Caucasian's job, he said that we were the most intelligent creatures that Allah made is man and woman. If a bird, a dog, a cat, a rat that you can see as you're going to this Caucasian's job is not in the unemployment line or in the welfare line, but yet we are, then one would question the intelligence of the man and woman. So when I see that dog, cat, rat, when I get a little weak, all I do is look out my window and see that bird fly that tree, and I say, the job ain't an option for me. I'm going to make it. I'm going to do something for myself. I continue to press on. So I just strongly encourage the brothers and the sisters and the listening artists, wherever you are in this country or all over the planet Earth, find a flea market. Inquire about booth rental. We got one here in St. Louis. The brother only charges $18 a day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. $18 a day. He also supplies you with wholesale information. Most flea markets will give you wholesale information that you will not be privy to or know about if you're not pursuing that type of lifestyle entrepreneurship. But that is the most basic and simple form of entrepreneurship that I've discovered for anybody in any city. Go to your local flea market, inquire about booth rentals, and start you a small base business right there. That's one way, brother. You asked the question, Brother Kareem, what could we share that could actually, the audience could actually do something to change their life? That's one way right there. To brothers and sisters alike, if you got a broom and a dustpan in your house, start you a home cleaning business. If you got a rake and a lawnmower in your garage, start you a landscaping business. But you have to be willing to start from somewhere, because if you are too afraid to start, now we're in desperate times, as the brother said. We're in a heck of a time. See, this message that the minister is saying to us today, he's been saying it for quite a long time. I'm sorry I'm long-winded right now, but it's so important. He's been saying this for a long time. I've been doing it for 20 years, and I've been saying if we keep on procrastinating and foot dragging, we're going to get to a point where we're going to make a decision out of desperation, and that is not the best time to be making decisions. And right now, as you said, sister, the jobs are leaving this country. They're not creating jobs for American citizens. These people are creating jobs to line their pockets so they go overseas and get cheaper labor. So now we're forced. Now we're being forced, as he said, as he told us, we're being forced to do something for self, and we're still trying to find a way out of doing that. Something's wrong with us. With these teachers, especially for those of us that have these teachers, something we have to get out of that fear factor. We got to change the way that we're doing things, the way that we're thinking. We have to change this because we're raising children now. Most of us are raising our children, and the example is, son, go to school, get a good education, and go work for the devil. That's the example we're giving them. This is why it's important to do something for self. Thank you, and I do apologize for taking up so much time, but I'm very passionate about this, about what I'm saying, and it goes along with community development, as the brother is in California. It goes right along with that, brother. So, yes, when you come up with a plan for black youth and you don't include job training anymore, see, time out for all the job training, because all we're doing is training them to go work for our open enemy. Let's start training them to be businessmen, entrepreneurs, skilled laborers, so where they can turn a business, open up a business themselves. Let's train them to buy real estate. Let's organize, like the minister said. Let's do this thing. So I'm done talking. I appreciate you giving me this time to express something that is so very passionate with me. You can't have what we say a nation without economics. You just can't do that. I'm done. Thank you, brother.
Oh, all right. Salam alaikum. That's beautiful. Well, I mean, you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself said that 95% of our problems could be solved with money, but it's the proper use of that money that we got to have. And I mean, just on that and in that, I want to say this myself. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us or reintroduce the 3-year economic program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that being the case, he's talked about, you know, he didn't change it, he didn't alter it. He gave it to us just as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave it to us, just with that 35 cents, you know what I'm saying, and talking about a nickel a week at 35 cents a month.
Yes, sir.
And he gave it to us to show us just how easy and painless that will be. Now, here's what I want to offer along those lines, and I've discussed this with the Queen, you know, and several other individuals, you know, because I know I don't know everything. So it tells us in Quran that those of us who are wise, I'm paraphrasing, we settle all our affairs by counsel, but it has to be wise counsel. Got to be somebody got some sense. You can't just take any kind of counsel. But the thing is that now the minister has put it out there about on a national level, and we know that this is a wonderful thing. However, let's be practical at this point. Really, how many of us on a national level, you understand what I'm saying, are going to actually feed the assets into that program. However, we locally, in our own cities, in our own towns, we come together pooling our resources. And by the way, the resources are not just the cash. The resources, the real resources, is us as a people. So if 3, 4, 5, 6, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in the economic blueprint that if 6 or 8 Muslims, he said, I'm saying if 6 or 8 or 2 or 3 people come together and practice the economic blueprint as it's set up and then begin to function locally,
and then also come up with a plan, all right, you know, plan on what that group of individuals locally is going to send to the national pot. I mean, what do you think of that? I mean, is that something that can be part of our answer to solving our problem, as the Queen said? I mean, these folks out here, I see folks having these fundraisers every day, all the time. However, when somebody gets, when one of our children is killed or murdered in our community, the families out there, many times I've had families come up to me and they got their little mason jar or whatever, and they're saying, well, we're collecting money because I also have a barber and beauty shop that I'm a part of. And by the way, yes, we do have Muhammad Study Session there every Wednesday at 7 p.m. I'm name dropping.
Yes, sir. Wow.
it's at 2640 Cherokee Street here in St. Louis, Missouri. The thing, well, you will learn practical application of these teachings and the economic blueprint. But the thing I'm talking about is people are coming out often with their daughter got shot. Their little grandbaby got shot. Their son got killed. But they're in there collecting money because they have no way to bury their child or they bury their relative. So if we come together locally in our area, you know, what does anybody that wants to say something about, what do you think about that? In other words, three or four, five, six, seven, or eight come together in whatever area you are, implement the three-year economic program with a component that says, however, every month we as a group are going to contribute to the national treasury. You know, what do you think about that? Anybody, just jump in.
Yes, sir. This is Brother Barney Muhammad. You know, I think that, you know, as we, one of the things that we're doing with the Elite 50, Elite over 50 at the squad with the Nation of Islam, have been doing that, and we have been doing it from the Salam restaurant every second Thursday. So we'll have a community day where we're bringing the people in. But the three-year economic program, as the Minister of State, he's putting it into a national treasury and having the people and pushing that particular aspect of it. We understand that our people may need certain aspects, but we just wanted to make them sacrifice that nickel today. Because once it gets in the national treasury, at the end of the day is what we're saying. With all of this is going on, at the end of the day, America is for sale. And as we get that, number one, we'll have less people dying because they'll be living in accord. When you say, you know, just six people, well, all of those, whether they call them Christians or whatever, should be submitting to the principles of that God has laid out. Otherwise, you're not going to deal with it. Reverend Bevels said to us one time, he said, we can get through this overnight if we just learn how to count to three. What's mine, what's yours, and what's ours. And so the reality is that until we get principles of guiding principles, we have to stay on this program and get our people. We're sick in the street to the hospital. The hospital of the mosques and temples of Islam. I can't go no other place because we, as those who understand that knowledge, we got to put a band-aid on the people. We can't fix them in the street. We put it on and bring them to the mosque or the temple because those are the life-giving teachings. And because America has done this to our people and had put us in such a wretched condition, that's why God is angry and is causing this madness on the planet. We got to come in the ark. People say, well, you're proselytizing. No, this isn't about proselytizing. This is telling the truth, whether you're in Bible or whether you're in a Quran. This is not the hour to be playing. We must pool our resources. That means come together. We have a man who has stood on the battle lines, who came before the FOI and said if he went behind closed doors, crossing out our people, he gave the FOI the right to take his life. Now, what other man would you want to get behind? So if you were a preacher, make him make that statement. If you would, whoever you follow, tell him, we catch you going behind closed doors, crossing us out, we will eat one grain of rice a day until we find you and chop your head completely from your body. See, that will solve 90% of our problems. Right there. So the reality is that I found a man that's willing to do that. I'll get behind him. We'll get behind him. And in the meantime, as you mentioned, my brother, get with our community people and organize them and do what we can with that organization. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anybody else?
Yes, Brother Kareem. you know, I'm going to want us to get away from, you know, the reason why we're here tonight. And I know economics does play a big part in a lot of our problems, but it is not our only problem, because you have to realize that we as a people have been deprived of, you know, luxury and, you know, good homes and friendships and all walks of life for a long time. You know, we have long been deprived of that. But if you remember back in the early days, I know, you know, not remember literally because you were there, but throughout our history, that once we were freed, so-called, from the plantation, there was a unity there. And know that when we were freed, don't think for one moment that the slave masters, you know, gave us 40 acres and a mule and sent us on our way. No, they did not. But in our unity, as the minister has reminded us, that we were able across this country to build 60 individual black towns. That was through our unity. That was putting whatever personal differences aside that we had, and we came together in unison. And, you know, it's very critical, the dying and the bloodshed in the streets. Now, we're talking about money, but I'm going to tell you something. Money ain't going to bring your child back from the grave. Money is not going to stop the mentality of the person who has the audacity or who has the lack of moral and self-value and value of life in itself from pulling the trigger. Money is not going to do that. But if people would, you know, like they say, turn from your wicked ways, humble yourself and pray. You know, this is what we have to get back to. We have to get back to morals, because you're talking about ushering in a new world. You ain't going to usher in no new world if you're going to try to take on a bunch of fools to go in there with you. That's going to happen. Right. People have to turn their hearts and their mindset around. It doesn't matter how much money you have if you don't have good moral character. Because you can be rich in material things. You could be rich in money, but you can have a black empty soul. And that black empty soul is what is causing the bloodshed in our streets today. So I don't care about us coming together and, you know, the three-year economic program. I'm worrying about who's going to be there to carry it through. Will our babies be there to see it through? Because it's because of us. It's called sins of the father. It's because of what we failed to do as a people in unity is why the conditions are what they are today. So those of us who are aware of the time, and the minister makes it very clear every week that the grace period is over. He said, exhort one another to patience and exhort one another to truth. Well, then, let's really understand that thing. Exhort one another to patience. I'm patient with you. I'm patient with you as long as you're striving in the way of God. I don't care what faith you're in. If you're striving in the way of a true living God, I am patient with you. But I'm not patient with you in your foolishness. I'm not patient with you in your smoking weed and your shooting dope and you mistreating women and you abandoning your babies and you going to jail for a little or nothing. No, it's time out for that. We've had our grace period. The grace time is up. It's time for us to stop spoon feeding people. You got teeth now. Chew on some truth now. So that's you can have all the money in the world, but if you got a damn fool that's over the money, and the money is not going to do you any good. And so I'm saying that we have to take on a role of leadership. We have a personal responsibility for our own salvation. Well, how is your salvation judged? Your salvation is not judged by how much charity you pay or how many times you hit your prayer rug. Your salvation is judged on how you treat your brother. So you turn a blind eye to your brother that's on the street that's doing wrong. You, some of the men walk by the young men, they see their pants hanging off their behind, and they don't say nothing. You know, they don't do anything. you know, about it. They don't try to implement a point of correction because you're turning a blind eye. I mean, that's not going to work today. You have a responsibility today. So that's what we have to really get back to, is touching the souls, putting our hands, our loving, gentle hands up on our children and saying, hey, little brother, hey, you're going in the wrong direction. We have to guide our people who are lost in the darkness back to Allah. If you don't do that, you have not done anything. And then you building a new world. Allah is ushering in a new world, and he's going to do a massive separation. It's not about black and white. It's not just about that. But it's about the doers and the non-doers, the believers and the non-believers. And when you look across that aisle, don't be surprised at who you're looking at. So that's, we have to get back to the principle of our morality, because if we don't have no morals, no values, no self-love, we don't have nothing. And I'm sorry, I sound like...
My sister made an excellent point. We are coming into a new birth. And in a new birth, like a baby, the feet that used to be at the opening have to make a turn. And now the head has to turn and force the way. So all of those who've been out here leading our people astray, they now have to become the feet. And those who know how to force the way will come through, and the turn is making now. Now, there's going to be some pain and a show of blood, but that birth is going, of the new nation is coming.
Yes, sir. All praise due to Allah. Yes, sir. All praise due to Allah. That's absolutely.
Brother Kareem, I'm sorry. I think we lost. Oh goodness, I think we lost Brother Darren. Let me try to get him back on the phone.
Yes, ma'am. We're ready.
We just have a few minutes, but I'll try to get him back.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And since we do have a few minutes, I want to say first and foremost that I personally have enjoyed our time together, and I believe, and I'm going to say I believe, and I don't believe, I know that we've covered the topics that I wanted to cover. And I want to say in this short time that we do have left to the listening audience, please, please, we're going to be back here, inshallah, and I always say that as a statement, not as a question, next Monday with a new topic.
Okay.
The thing is, yes, sir.
No,
and the thing is, what we want to do is, we really would love to have audience participation, because, again, that's what it's about. We can't be a nation unless we all participate. We have to, as the Queen summed it up, it's about the moral aspect. And one of the things I love to share is the fact that when you get that book, and I know I keep mentioning it, Message to the Black Man, when you notice the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, look at the way he laid that book out and set it up. He gives you six sections in that book, which actually begin to deal with who God is, who you are, who the devil is. Then he gives you practical application on how to improve your personal relationship with God, to straighten out your morals. And then in the seventh section, I believe that's when he finally gets to economics. Because why? Because it's said so eloquently. I mean, the bottom line is hey, I can have all the money in the world, but if I'm a damn fool, and I'm saying it like that, if I'm a damn fool, of what use is it?
That's
right. I mean, look at all of the rich, and I'm not going to say wealthy because there is a difference. Look at all the rich black folks that we got, and then look at the condition of us as a people. I'm not even talking about the society. Look at us as a people. So if money without morals was the answer, man, we would be sailing, all the millionaires we got. No, without the moral base, without the moral foundation, without the love, as was mentioned, the love
I believe it says it in the Bible that greater love hath no man, and I say hath no person, than they would give their life for their friends. That means giving my life to me means I'm going to live a life of righteousness as it's laid out in the scripture, in the positive books and things that are out there. I live my life in such a way that I want for you what I want for myself, and I don't just say that, but I live like that. I don't see you down. I don't see you in a bad condition and just walk by or pass by on the other side. I offer you whatever it is I have, even if it's just a kind word, to help bring you up out of that condition. So are we about at the end or?
Yes, sir, we are, but I want to say, thank Brother Derek and, for joining us and, you know, going against all odds and, you know, coming out here on Front Street and representing San Diego so very well. And, Brother Barney, thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
And for coming on, yes, sir. And Brother Robert, thank you from St. Louis for joining us as well. You wasn't on the panel this time, but certainly in the future, I'm pretty sure Brother Kareem will have you on. And Brother Kareem, I want to tell you that, see, I told you the devil make a fool of you in a minute. You sitting up here talking about this your first time hosting. You did an excellent job. So thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. It was an honor to sit amongst my brotherhood, and I love you all, and may Allah continue to bless you in all of your endeavors. And I'm going to allow our host to close us out in prayer, if he would.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. And the one prayer, thank you, all praises due to Allah, the one prayer that I would close us out with is this one. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed Satan. O Allah, we seek thy refuge from anxiety and grief, and we seek thy refuge from lack of strength and laziness. And we seek thy refuge from cowardice and niggardliness. And we seek thy refuge from being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. O Allah, suffice us with that which is lawful, to keep us away from that which is prohibited. And with thy grace, make us free from want of what is beside thee. O Allah, help us to be steadfast in prayer and also our children. O our Lord, accept our prayer. O our nourisher, forgive us and forgive our parents and all the believers when their judgment is held. Amen.
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 And I just want to say this. Remember, always the thought is the act and the act is the fact. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Queen.
Okay. Well, thank you all again, gentlemen. One nation, one love, and
thank
good night.
So
good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.